Today's Shir is Masechta Shabbos Daf Pei Vav. We will begin on Daf Pei Vav Amud Aleph, four lines from the top. In our previous Mishnayos, as has been the style of this entire parak, we've discussed different halachas, and then the Mishnah attempts to know how we notice halacha. Where is there an esmachta from for these halachas in the Torah? And this Mishnah is no different. We've discussed in previous shiurim that keri, shechva zera, semen, is tamei. We've also discussed that the shechva zera that enters into a woman's body is tamei as long as it's viable. And a woman who's still expelling shechva zera from her body, if that shechva zera is viable shechva zera, the halacha is that it will be tamei. The question is, how long does the shechva zera that's coming out of a woman's body remain viable? So says the Mishnah, Menayin lepaleta shechva zera. From where we know that if a woman expelled shechva zera from her body, it's 3 days since it entered, she tamei, that it's still tamei, and will make her tamei, if for coming out of her body. Shnema, because the Torah Kedoshah tells us, when it comes to Kabbalah HaTorah, hayei nechoinim shlosh shomim, as we will discuss extensively in our upcoming shiurim, Moshe Rabbeinu gave Klal Yisrael very distinct direction, what they have to do in preparation for Kabbalah HaTorah. And they were told that for 3 days, husbands and wives must separate. Why? Because Moshe Rabbeinu did not want to have a situation where the women were expelling shechva zera as we were going to receive the Torah. So Tosfos makes a very important point. Taisa says, why do we find that the Torah was only concerned about this tumma? And we can learn Taisa's question even stronger. They weren't yet obligated in Hilchas Tumma V'Tahara. They weren't yet Jewish. They were Jewish. They hadn't received the Torah yet. So why specifically in this tumma was Hashem Makbid that they have to make sure not to have that tumma for Kabbalah HaTorah? So Tosfos says that all of the tummas typically are not controllable. They come because Hashem wants, that's what happens to the human being. This tumma comes from Kalas Roish, from a lack of seriousness. And since there's a lack of seriousness involved, that's why the Torah was specifically makbid on this tumma. And as I saw, the Shem Shmuel explains, we follow the opinion that we learned in Masechta Brachos, Daf Chaf Beis Amud Aleph. The Gemara in Masechta Brachos quotes the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira says, "Ein divrei Torah mekabel tuma," that we hold that even if somebody is a Balkeri, he's allowed to learn Torah. So if that's the case, why was a Balkeri not allowed to receive the Torah? So the Shem Shmuel, in a lengthier piece, but his point is that if somebody's learning Torah, as the Gemara we learned there says, ain't divrei Torah mekabel tuma. And since divrei Torah are not mekabel tuma, that's why a Balkeri is allowed to learn Torah. But here, it was the first time, here they were going to receive the Torah. The receiving of the Torah has to be the Kedusha B'Tahara. That's the way we have to begin our learning. It's an important lesson for Chinuch. As we start training somebody to live a life of Torah, we have to train them to do it properly. So if Klal Yisrael are going to receive the Torah now, that's why they had to receive the Torah in a state of pure Tahara, particularly to be separate from something from a tumma that comes from kalas rosh. And as I saw, the Rishonim go on to explain, because we could have said that the reason Hashem told them to separate was not because of tumma. It could have been because Hashem wanted them to get ready for Kabbalah Satorah. But it makes much more sense to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was trying to teach them an important lesson. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was trying to teach them, you need to be Tahor. We know that a Mila is supposed to take place on the eighth day. We also know that a child after the Mila is weak. And in those days, and it's important to point out that the Shulchan Aruch, the Rishonim already say, and the Shulchan Aruch already paskins, that what we're going to discuss is the halacha that was in those days, where washing a woman, a baby who just had a Mila on the third day, we'll see if it's the third day or even other days, was essential to his health. In the world that we live, say the Rishonim and paskins the Shulchan Aruch, that isn't a consideration. That isn't something that we need to do to keep the child healthy. So typically we're not allowed to wash with hot water on Shabbos. How do we know we may do so for a child on his third day from a bris milah? Because we know that by the pasuk of Shimon and Levi who attacked the city of Shechem after they had violated their sister Dina. So the pasuk says that when did they do so? On the third day when they were weak. So the posh pshat is, that why did they wait for the third day? Because the third day is the day when the child is weak, is when they're the weakest on the third day. So that's why they waited for the third day. So we see that on the third day, they needed to, the child is in particular danger, and therefore you're allowed to do the bris milah. That's the way that you're allowed to wash the child with hot water. That's the way the Miri explains. That's the way the Ran explains. The Miri explains that no. The Miri explains that the child is actually weak on the first and second day as they did the bris every day that the child is getting better, he gets stronger. So he says on just the opposite, that the first and second day, they're certainly weak. The Chiddush of our Mishnah is that even on the third day, the child is weak, and we're allowed to do the bris milah on the third day. Another very important point, says the Tashbatz and the Mishnah Brura, and Siman Shin Lamed Aleph, Sifkot Lamed Gimel, quotes the Tashbatz. We know that if a child is not well, we don't do the bris milah on the eighth day. We have to wait until the child gets better. So the Mishnah Brura quotes a Tashbatz that says that there are people that when we have a bris milah that has been delayed because the child wasn't well, they don't do the bris milah. And there's still many communities that follow this minig that don't do the bris milah on Thursday. Because if the bris milah will be done on Thursday, then the third day from the bris milah will be Shabbos. And Shabbos, according to the way we're learning in our Gemara, at least according to the Ran, is the day that the child will be weakest. So we don't want to create a situation to have a weak child. According to the opinions that the person who had the Mila is weak even on day one and day two, so why did Reuven and Shimon wait for the third day? So I saw two pshatim. One pshat is that they needed to decide. It wasn't something that they decided to do easily. So it wasn't something that they were prepared to do until the third day they saw if they're not going to do it by today, they're going to lose their window of opportunity. Another pshat is that all of the people, Shechem, we remember that they made a condition with the city of Shechem that everybody in Shechem has to have a bris milah. So Shechem was a city of many people. They certainly could not have in any way done a bris milah for everybody in the city in one day. So it was staggered. But by the time the third day came, everybody in the city had a bris milah. By some it was day one after the bris, by some it was day two after the bris, and by some it was day three after the bris. But the point is that the entire city by that day had all of them had a bris milah, and they also, as the Miri explains, whether it was day one or day two or day three for them, were very weak. So I saw a beautiful vart from the Strick of a Rebbe. He says that the Torah says, v'chai behem. The Torah was given to us that we should live by the Torah. The Torah is not here to put us into danger. The Torah is here to make us healthy. Yet, we take every Jewish child, and when he's a little baby, we make a bris milah for him. Isn't that something that may be dangerous? It must be, he says, that if the Torah says that we should make a bris milah for a child, what the Torah is saying is, don't worry, the child will be well, and you have nothing to worry about making a bris milah on a child. So it turns out, he says, that when you're by a bris milah, you're experiencing a situation where there's somebody who had a bris, and somebody who went through an operation, and is guaranteed to get better. So that's where a person who's nebuch sick should make it his business to attend the bris milah. And by attending a bris milah, where this child is assured to get well, this person who's not well will also, in mitzvah Hashem, get better. We know, as part of the avodah on Yom Kippur, they would bring two goats, two seirim, and they would do a geirul, they would do a lottery to determine which goat will go l'Hashem, is used as a carbon that the Kohen Gadol brings on Yom Kippur, and which is the goat that will be thrown down the mountain. Says the Mishnah, regarding the goat that went l'Azazel, Menayin Shekoshim Loshen Shel Zorus, B'roi Sora Mishtoleach, how do we know they put a thread of red wool around the head of the Sora Mishtoleach? Shnema, the Pasuk says, Amyu Chatoechem Keshonim Keshel Gilvinu. And there would be a tremendous nace that red thread would be put, that would turn white, to symbolize that the Averis that Klal Yisrael did, they had a kapara. Why does it say kishonim? Shonim is Loshon Rabbim. The way we're explaining, it was put around one thread was put around the neck of the animal. So the Sfasema says, if we look in the Gemara, Masechta Yuma, the Gemara in Masechta Yuma explains the procedure that they put one thread around the neck of the animal and around the head of the animal, and one was put by the door of the base of Beis HaMikdash that they could see. The people who were there did not see what was going on with the Sar Lazazel. As we just said, it was thrown down the mountain. So to be able to see what was going on, the status of this thread, they had that hanging by the door of the Beis HaMikdash. So in total, they had two threads altogether. We know that on Yom Kippur, there are many things we may not do because we're supposed to be in a state of inui. And one of the things that we're not allowed to do is shmir ourselves. So how do we know one may not do so on Yom Kippur? It doesn't say so explicitly in the Torah. Answers the Gemara, Abish and Raila Dover, Zecher Dover. Even though there's no explicit Pasuk, there's a Zecher. The Pasuk says, Shanam v'tovay k'mayim b'kirbay u'kishemen atzmoysav. This is a Pasuk in Tehillim. The Pasuk is speaking, cursing the person that will fall a Rishoyim. And it says that the curse that will enter him will be like water that enters into the body of a person. So we see that the oil that comes into the person's body is like the water that we drink. Tosfos points out that this is not really a compelling proof, because maybe the pasuk is saying, the pasuk is comparing anointing with oil to washing with water. It doesn't necessarily mean that it's speaking about somebody who's the anointing of oil, somebody who's drinking water. Moreover, as the halacha is, if somebody does eats or drinks on Yom Kippur, the halacha is that he is chayiv. If he does so b'mezid, he's chayiv karis. There is no chayiv karis on shticha on Yom Kippur. And in fact, the fact that the Muki Yosef says that the Mishnah goes out of the way to use the words which we don't find previously in the Mishnah, apish en ray ladova zeich ladova. So I always assume that the pshat is because of Tosfos' point that the proof is not a compelling proof. The Muki Yosef takes a different position. The Muki Yosef says the reason the Mishnah uses these words is to teach us that don't make a mistake and think that Sicha on Yom Kippur is identical to all the other inuyim, to eating and drinking. And that's why the Mishnah goes out of the way to say we only know this through a Zeich L'dover and it should not be treated the same. So the question is that if we now say that Sicha Kishtiya, that if you put something, if you wash your body with something, it's the halacha is Sicha Kishtiya. So the question is, why should we not require to have a hechsher on soap? So in fact, the Tosfos Yeshanim in Masechta Yuma Daf Ayin Vav Am Beis Divrei Maskil Minayin quotes Rabbeinu Yaakov that says the din of Sicha Kishtiya is only a din in Yom Kippur, nowhere else in Halacha. But Tosfos quotes the Rabbeinu Tam that takes us a step further. He says that the din of Sicha Kishtiya was only set on shemen, on oil. It wasn't said on different materials. He says, however, the Mordechai disagrees. And he says that if the halacha is that Sicha Kishtiya, so there's no reason to differentiate between Sicha on Yom Kippur and Sicha at any other time of the year. And there's no reason to say that it's only by Shemen, if the din is Sicha Kishtiya. And the Bi'agra, in fact, quotes this sheet of the Mordechai, but the Ramah in Arachayim Sin Shin Nun Vav says, in Sif Yud, says that the world is not makbid to do what they wash themselves with, that it should be kosher. The Bi'alocha over there, in Simon Shin Chavav, the Remask B'Shar Chelev, does quote the Gra, and he says that there are people who are makbid to follow the opinion of the Gra. He says that the world is makel, and they don't look for hechsher on soap. He says that reason is because most people follow the opinion of Rabbeinu Tam that we just quoted a moment ago, is that Sicha Kishti is only by shemen. But he does say that if you could find soap that is kosher, he says, it would be appropriate to be machmer. However, the Prechadish says there's no reason to be makbid on soap. The reason there's no reason to be makbid on soap is he takes a different approach. He says that soap is pogum. It's inedible. It's, you know, we could eat soap. And the halacha of Sicha Kishtiya certainly wasn't said on something that is pogum. And therefore, he says that soap, there's no problem with Sicha Kishtiya, even if it's not kosher. And that is the opinion that's cited by the Aruch HaShulchan as well, that the soap that we have is pogum. Nobody, of course, eats soap. And the halach is that one should doesn't have a problem to look for soap that's particularly kosher. The Bdaka Tshuva, however, says in that in Yerideya, Sima Kuf Yud Zayin Sif Kotel Lamed Gimel, that if it's possible to find kosher soap, he says in his time they started making soap out of coconut oil. The halacha is that the, should use soap that you know that's kosher. Then I saw from the Shailos HaTshuvos, Shevet HaKohasi, that he wants to suggest there's a difference between soap that's used to rub into the body. Soap that's used to rub into the body, that is soap that one has to be careful. But soap that is not used to absorb into the body, you just wash the body superficially with soap, that isn't what's meant when we speak about shicha. Says the Mishnah, Reish the loikra b'lozah ben Azariah. Comments the Mishnah that our Mishnah doesn't seem to follow the opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. And Sefer does seem to follow the opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. The Rabbi Elazar, Ikra Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, we're going to want to say that it follows the opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. We begin now a sugya, a machloikis, exactly when a woman who expels Shechva Zera, till when is she tamei? Because Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah's opinion is, we've heard that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah actually holds that a woman who emits Shechva Zera on the third day is already Tohar. So what the Gemara is essentially asking is that it's difficult to explain that the ratio of the Mishnah is not following Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah and that the Sefer is following Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. So there are two ways how to approach such a question. One way of approaching this question, and this is not the only place we have it in Baba Metzia as well. One way of approaching it is by saying that the Mishnah is representing the opinion of two different Tanoim. Another way of approaching such a situation is by saying that we have to amend the words of the Mishnah. And as I just said, there's a difference, two different approaches in the Gemara Baba Metzia, what is preferable to do under such situation. So says the Gemara, Man deloy muki ketanoi, the one who doesn't want to say that one Mishnah should represent two different the opinion of two different Tanoim, will amend the Mishnah and say Tana Resha Tahira. But the Rishonim point out that it wasn't that because you have a question, you could just change the girsa of the Mishnah. We have no right to do so. There was, in the Beis Medrash, already a discussion, what is the proper girsa of the Mishnah. So the girsa that found its way into our Mishnah was that it's Tameya. But this is a proof that the proper girsa is Tahira. And that's why we can now have the entire Mishnah, or Mukala Lekulik, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. The entire Mishnah we can now have following the opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Or Manda Mukim Ketanoi, one who prefers to, instead of modifying a Mishnah, we should say that the Mishnah could be different Tanoim for different halachas. So we'll say that the Reisha Rabbanon will be able to explain that the first case of the Mishnah is indeed following the opinion of the Rabbanon, and the Sefer, the later case of the Mishnah, is following the opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Tana Rabbanon. So in fact, the Gemara goes into the question, if a woman already on the third day expels the Shechva Zera from her body, she's Tohor. Divrei Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, that is the opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Rabbi Shmuel disagrees, and Rabbi Shmuel says, Pamim Shein Arba Oynos, Pamim Shein Chamesh Oynos, and Pamim Shein Shosh Oynos. The different situations, depending on depending when the woman had the relationship. Rav Shmuel holds that the Mishnah is tamei for 3 days, and it's only at the beginning of the fourth day after Biyah. However, he says that it depends on calendar days. There's two ways of looking at this tuma. Do we look at the tuma by calendar day, or do we look at the tuma by oinus? Oinus are the two ways of looking at oina, of describing oina. One way of describing oina is its 12-hour periods. And another way of speaking about oina is the day and the night. Every day, daytime is one oina, and every nighttime is an oina. So he says, we wait for the fourth day. So let's say and we also know one important word of introduction, that when we speak about days in the Jewish calendar, the day begins at night. So if a woman had bia any time on Wednesday, if the woman had bia any time on Wednesday, on a mission that will be on Shabbos is tar, because we have Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Now it depends on Wednesday when she had the bia. Doesn't make a difference. The bia took place even late Wednesday afternoon. Wednesday will be day one. If it took place late Wednesday afternoon, so it'll be Wednesday night. So then what will be the 3 days? There'll only be Wednesday night, Thursday by day, Thursday night, and Friday night. And so you'll only have 4 oinus. If the bia took place Wednesday morning, there'll be 5 bias. If the bia took place Tuesday night, which as we just said, Tuesday night is already Wednesday, there'll be 6 oinus. Pamim shein arba oinus, pamim shein chamesh oinus, pamim shein sheish oinus. Reb Kiva oimer, loilam chamesh. We always have 5 periods. V'myotso mixus oina, rishoina. And if some of the, if she had, nobody has bia, or typically don't have bia at the beginning of the oina. So let's say somebody had bia at night, but night began, let's say, 9 o'clock, but they did bia at 11 o'clock. Those 2 hours have to be made up. So we see, so now, as we mentioned when we learned the Mishnah, what is the source that a woman who expels Shechva Zera is Tameh? So we had it from Kabbalah Satira, as we learned in the Mishnah, where the Torah wanted the women who had expelled Shechva Zera should not, and were still Tameh, had to be tar before we received the Torah. So says the Gemara, Amar Rabbanu Kameid Rapapa, Vamalei Rapapa L'Rava, Bishlam Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Krabbanan. The Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah follows the opinion of Rabbanan, whose opinion we're going to learn, what exactly was the schedule by Kabbalah Satira. Dami b'chamisha avet prisha, on fifth day, which was Thursday, they stopped having relations. So Thursday was the last day they had relations, and they could already have, so it's Thursday, Friday, and Shabbos they had Kabbalah Satira, which was the third day. So by the third day, there's no problem. Rashman krab yoysi dami revia avet prisha, so that means Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. El Rabbi Kiva says that it depends on 5 oinus, whose opinion does he follow? Answers the Gemara Loilam Krabi Yossi. He follows the opinion of Rabbi Yossi that Prisha was given on Wednesday. Kramer of Adabar Hava. Moshe Bashkama Ola Bashkama Yorod. Moshe Rabbeinu went up the mountain every day and down the mountain. When Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Har Sinai, or when came down from Har Sinai, it was always early in the morning. Bashkama Ola, the Ksiv, V'yashke Moshe B'boiker, V'yal al Har Sinai. Bashkama Yorad, the Ksiv, Leich Rei V'alisa Ata V'aron Imach. So the Pasuk is connecting Makashirida L'Aliyah. Ma'aliyah, the Pasuk says explicitly, V'yashke Moshe, Ma'aliyah Bashkama, Af Yirida Bashkama. So we see that Moshe Rabbeinu came down Wednesday early morning and told him that they have to do Prisha. So we have 5 oinus until Kabbalah Satira, Wednesday night, Thursday night, and Friday. Lomelil Memelhu asked the Gemara, but he told them on Wednesday morning that they should stop having relations with their wives. So asked the Gemara, why do you have to tell them Wednesday morning? Don't we know, asked the Gemara, the Yisrael Kadoshim, Klal Yisrael are Kadosh, so they anyway don't have relations by day, because it's not modest to do bia by day. Answers the Gemara, because ha'amarava and ha'ibayis offer mutter, if the house is dark, you're allowed to have relations by day. V'amarava v'item rapapa, tamachachim that has relations by day, mapel talisai umutter, he covers himself up to make sure that he doesn't see his wife and he can have relations by day. So that's why he had to give a directive that they can't have bia Wednesday, even though it was by day. So I saw that the Achronim asked an obvious question. We're learning that you're not allowed to do Bia by day. The only one that could do it is a Talmud Chacham. But here we're speaking before Kabbalah Satayra. Before Kabbalah Satayra, there were no Talmidei Chachamim. So what's pshat that Moshe Rabbeinu was speaking to Talmidei Chachamim? So I saw that the Sefer Mishmer Halevi answers that there were Talmidei Chachamim already then. So you know that certain mitzvahs were given b'mara, and a mara, and the people who spent the time learning in mara, the learning and studying the mitzvahs that they received in mara, they were the Talmidei Chachamim. Says the Gemara, v'tfulei yoimninu. Many times in our shir, we've learned that if a person goes to the mikveh, he's not considered completely tahor. He's not considered completely tahor until he has Harif Shemesh. So ask the Gemara that everybody agrees that the women who emitted Shechva Zera on Friday, they went to the mikveh until Friday night. They only went to the mikveh Friday night. If somebody goes to the mikveh on Friday night, and Torah was given Shabbos morning, they have to wait till Matzoi Shabbos to be completely tahor, to wait for the Harif Shemesh of Matzoi Shabbos. And says the Gemara, indeed, Abaye v'Rav Rachanina bar Avin d'Armi Tavayu, nit n'tayr l'tfil yoyim. Even though a tfil yoyim has some level of tumah, it's not considered a complete level of tumah. And therefore, they went to the mikveh Friday night. Indeed, these women who had to go to the mikveh Friday night with tefillah yoyim, but that's not a problem. Yosef, when Reimah v'kamal lo shmatzah, Meimah was sitting this gemara and said, "Amalei Ravina l'Meimah, nit the kamrit or ruya kamrit? Was that what happened, or is it could have happened?" Says the gemara, "Ruya kimna." So what it means was as follows: they all went to the mikveh Friday afternoon. Yes, if they would have zera emanate from their body at that point, that would make them still tamei because they have to count till Friday night. But there was a tremendous ness. They went to the mikveh Friday afternoon. They had Harif, and therefore they were able to have a proper Harif Shamish before Kabbalah Satayra. So they should be completely tahor. But if anybody would expel some Shechva Zera, they would be tamei. The Chiddush was that none of them expelled any Shechva Zera before Kabbalah Satayra. Ask the Gemara, v'litmi Beni Shimshi. So if they all accepted, they all went to the mikveh Friday afternoon, and we're learning, and we're going to discuss this, that the Torah was given Shabbos, so why did they have to wait for Shabbos morning to receive the Torah? They could have received the Torah Friday night. V'lkabel Torah Beni Shimshi, and then they should be mekabel Torah right after they went to the mikveh Friday night. Answers the Gemara, Amar Rav Yitzchak, Loi Miroi Seisa Dibarti. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not want to give us the Torah in a hidden way. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to give us the Torah publicly, not at night. Ask the Gemara, if that's the case, then Litvul B'tzafra B'Shapsa, let them go to the mikveh of Shabbos morning, V'lkabel Torah B'Shapsa. Because if we follow the opinion of Rabbi Kiva, that only five periods have to pass before we have a problem with Zera, why did he have to tell them Wednesday morning that they're not allowed to do Bia? It could have started Wednesday evening, and we would still have five periods. It would be Wednesday night, Thursday day, Thursday night, Friday day, and Friday night. And if a woman would expel some Zera Shabbos morning, Shabbos by day, it wouldn't bother us because it was already after five Einus. Answers the Gemara, Omer of Yitzchak, technically that could have been done. However, they did not want to have a situation where some people were going to the mikveh because they had to wait till Shabbos morning to go to the mikveh, and some people were going to Kabbalah Satayra. That wasn't a situation that a Kadosh Baruch Hu was interested in. He wanted everybody to go to Kabbalah Satayra at the same time. Amar Chibar Abba, Amar Yochanan. Zudir Bishmav Rabbi Kiva. We've discussed how much time has to pass before Shechva Zera is a problem. That a woman is not tor until six full oinus pass. So now we could understand that the Chacham hold, like Rabbi Yossi, that the mitzvah prisha was given Wednesday morning, and that the reason Kabbalah Satorah was only Shabbos morning was that a woman should have full six oinus before Kabbalah Satorah. Wednesday day, Wednesday night, Thursday day, Thursday day, Thursday night, Friday day, and Friday night. And if a woman, therefore, would have an emission of Shechel Zerah Friday night, she could go to the mikveh Shabbos morning and still come to Kabbalah Satorah. Amar Rav Chisda, Machloike Shapir Shem Anisha. Everything that we've been discussing, says the Gemara, is regarding women. Ava Pirshim Minaish, what about Shechvazera that comes out of a man? The Shechvazera that comes out of a man is also Tomei. So says the Gemara, how long, what's the shear by a man? Says the Gemara, Tomei Kozman Shilacha. As long as it's moist, it's Tomei. When it's no longer moist, it's not Tomei anymore. Most Rav Sheshes, as Rav Sheshes, this is the pasuk that speaks about the din of shechazera. Prat the shechazera sheisrucha. If it already is not viable, it's not mekabel tuma. Now it's not metame. Now isn't this speaking about shapir shemana ish? So we see that shechazera of a man also is dependent on days, not moist loy. Says the Gemara that pasuk is speaking about Shapir Shem and Isha. But by a man, as we just learned, the shear is dependent on moist or not moist. Bayer Papa, ask the Gemara, Shechva Zera she Yisrael b'mei kutus mahu. What's going to be the halacha of a Shechva Zera that's in the body of a non-Jewish woman? Does it have the same halacha? Do we say, Yisrael the digi b'mitzvahs, Yisrael that a have this concern about mitzvahs, chaval gafayu, so they're always concerned that they should be properly performing the mitzvahs, and therefore their bodies become hot, and therefore the shechva zera spoils earlier. However, if the kachavim the loy did give a mitzvahs, that they're not so concerned loy, I don't makim the achli shkatzim ramashim, since they eat shkatzim ramashim, so they don't have the concern about doing mitzvahs that causes their body to get warm, but the concern about eating the non-kosher food adversely affects the shechazera, and therefore it's the same. Then Tim Tzolayman, and if therefore says the Gemara, if you indeed say kim da'achli shkotzim ramashim chavu gufayu, because they eat these different non-kosher food, they're the same as Jewish people who, although they don't eat non-kosher food, they're concerned about doing mitzvahs and averus have an effect on them. What's going to be the halacha of shechva zera b'mei behema mahu? Do we say isha the less this leproy de masrachas, and a woman that has a canal, so the shechva zera that goes into the canal and it's not exposed to air and it's in the woman's body, which is very hot, ruins the shechva zera. Abahem the less leproy is the loy. And an animal that doesn't have that canal, the shechva zera doesn't get ruined that quickly. And the Gemara remains with a teiku. And this Gemara is the basis for a very famous Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer says that many times medicines and different procedures are experimented on patients to determine what will be the way to heal a person, to understand the biology of a person, anatomy of a person. Says the Chassam Sofer in the Tshuvos, that from here we see that we can't compare a Jewish person to a non-Jewish person. And therefore what has been necessarily determined to be effective by non-Jews doesn't necessarily affect Jews as well. However, the Masham in the Shalos Tshuvos Chelek Beis Siman Kuf Pei Beis questions the Chassam Sofer that from our Gemara it seems that the Jews and non-Jews maybe are the same, They, because we have to worry about mitzvahs, and they have to worry about, they eat non-kosher food, so maybe that evens things out. And moreover, everybody agrees that when we're dealing with a situation of pikuach nefesh, we have to, of course, do whatever we have to do. So even if we'll say that the Jewish body is different than the non-Jewish body, we still can't, we still have no way of, we still have no way of compare, we have no way of differentiating. This is what the doctors say should be done. And we should always follow what the doctors say, even if we have reason to differentiate. Continues the Gemara. Tana Rabbanan, b'shish b'chodesh nitan eres adibus l'Yisrael. The Torah was given on shishi b'sivin. Rabbi Yossi Omer b'shivabai. It was given on 7 days in Sivan. So we have a very fundamental machlokes. What was the day on which the Torah was given? So says the Gemara. Says the Gemara. Amar Rava. Everybody agrees. The Kul Alma Rish Chodesh Oslo Midbas Sinai. That Klal Yisrael arrived on Rish Chodesh to Midbas Sinai. How do we know that? Ksiv Hacha B'yom Hazeh Bo Midbas Sinai. V'ksiv Hasam HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodoshim. Ma'ala Halim Rosh Chodesh Af Kan Rosh Chodesh. So we see from here that the beginning of Kabbalah Satorah was on, so it was on Rosh Chodesh, the beginning, and that's why from Rosh Chodesh Sivan, the halacha is we really don't say Tachnun, because the preparation of Kabbalah Satorah was on Rosh Chodesh. So of course there's a very famous question from the Magen Avraham. If we follow the opinion of Rabbi Yossi, and it makes sense that we follow the opinion of Rabbi Yossi, because we just learned that the Rabbanon say that you have to wait 6 oinus for a peleta shechvazera, and that is indeed the halacha. So if that's the case, we said that the Rabbanon have to follow the opinion of Rabbi Yossi that says that the Torah was given on 7 days in Sivan. If that's the case, so Shavuos, we know, is 6 days in Sivan. In Chutz Loretz, it's 6 days in Sivan and 7 days in Sivan. And at Yisrael, it's only 6 days in Sivan. But it's not even the day that we received the Torah. So how can we say on Shavuos, on Vav Sivan, Yoim Matan Torah Seinu, when the Torah was really given on 7 days in Sivan, which in Eretz Yisrael is not even a Yontif? So the Rivash says that Shavuos is not connected to Matan Torah. Shavuos is connected to the day after the Sphere is over. And since that's what Shavuos depends on, and he makes a point, depending on how many days there are in Rosh Chodesh, again, as we say often in our Shurim, in our calendar, the days are always, the months are set. We know what the calendar is going to look like years in advance. They were Mekadosh al Pi Riyah, and sometimes it was 1 day Rosh Chodesh, sometimes it was 2 days Rosh Chodesh. So Sivan, Shavuos could come out even in Hay Sivan. And the point is that it's not dependent on Matan Torah. It's dependent on when the Sphere is over. The Oinig Yontif gives a different teretz. He says that Vav Sivan was the date that they were supposed to receive the Torah. And that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said by Brias HaOlam. And because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said by Brias HaOlam, that's what I want. So even though the date got changed, as we're going to learn in our sugyas, but that was the date that HaKadosh Baruch Hu designated from the beginning of the world. Another pshat that the Beis HaLevi suggests, that Torah Shebaal Peh was given on Vav Sivan. And that was the day where it was the debate, he says, between Moshe Rabbeinu and the Malachim. And therefore, the Torah, that's why Vav Sivan is the day of Kabbalah Satorah. So of course the question is that the Torah that we received was actually given, that the Torah that we received was not the the luchos that we received in Vav Sivan, Zayin Sivan, were the luchos that Moshe Rabbeinu brought. So the luchos that we got were on Rosh Chodesh Elul. That's when we got the luchos shnius. So why don't we celebrate Kabbalas HaTorah on Rosh Chodesh Elul? So the answer is that the lesson is that the Shivrei luchos are also important. And the Shivrei luchos are represented by the luchos that we got in Sivan. That even if a Jew forgets his learning, and even we who don't necessarily remember everything we learned, that is the day of Kabbalas HaTorah. Continues the Gemara, the Kul Alma, everybody agrees that B'Shabbos Nitna Torah L'Yisrael, that the Torah was given to Klal Yisrael on Shabbos. K'siv Hachar, it says here, K'siv Zachar Shev Shabbos L'Katshay, K'siv Hasam, V'Yoyim Moshe El'am, Zachar Es Yoyim Hazeh, Ma'a L'Halam B'Tzum Eshel Yoyim, it's talking about the day that we went out of Mitzrayim, Af Kam B'Tzum Eshel Yoyim, it means on Shabbos. Everybody agrees that the Torah was given on Shabbos. And there are many reasons that the Mefarshim suggest why HaKadosh Baruch Hu specifically gave the Torah on Shabbos. The Pasha Pshat is that the Torah is Bracha, and the day of Shabbos represents Bracha. Another Pshat that the Or Chaim suggests is that the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world is that the world should be able to exist 6 days, and then Shabbos, the world regenerates, but it regenerates in Shabbos and also regenerates if we follow the words of the Torah. So that's why Shabbos and Torah are very much connected, because that's the day that's appropriate for Kabbalas HaTorah. Says the Gemara, Ki Pligi, the question is, B'Kviyah D'Yarcha, what was the day of Rosh Chodesh that year? Reb Yossi Sava, B'chad B'Shabbos Ikvi Yarcha, the Rosh Chodesh was on Sunday. Or B'chad B'Shabbos, he continues, the Gemara says, Lo Amu V'Lo Midi, he didn't say anything to them on Sunday. On Sunday, they were quiet. And as I saw, a beautiful word from the Leif Simcha. Why? He wanted to teach them a very important lesson. The part of Kabbalas HaTorah is to be quiet. You don't have to accept anything. You don't have to say something all the time. And the reason that was done was Mishim Chosha Dorcha. They had just arrived and they were not able to accept, they were not able to really have a clear mind. And the lesson is that Torah Mateshas Koicha Shel Adam, that we have, Moshe Rabbeinu was trying to teach them that even when you're weak, you have to learn Torah. Your Chosha Dorcha, the part of the procedure of Kabbalas HaTorah, is even when you're weak. Betray B'Shabbos on Monday Amalahu Vatim Tiuli Mamleches Koinim. Betlasa Amalahu Mitzvah Hagbola. On the third day, on Tuesday, he taught them that they're not allowed to get close to the mountain. Ba'arba of Aprisha. Ba'arba of Aprisha. On Wednesday, they started separating from the wives. Rabban Tzavi. Betray B'Shabbos Ikvi Yarcha. Rosh Chodesh Sivan was on Monday. Betray B'Shabbos Lo Amalahu Lo Midi. He didn't tell them anything. Again, Mishum Chol Shadarcha. B'tlosa Amalu V'atatim Tiuli. Ba'arba Amalu Mitzvah Hagbala. B'chamishi, as we learned earlier, there was 1 day less of Prisha according to them because there was the issue of a woman expelling Shifa Zera is less. And that's why B'chamishi of a Prisha, that was the day that they started separating from their wives.